Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Otsego and Pawpaw Seventh-day Adventist churches. And now, here's Pastor Sean.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Welcome to the Otsego Seventh-day Adventist Church. And happy new year. Just a few days into the new year, it's good to have each one of you here. I hope your new year is off to a good start. And if it hasn't been a good year yet, there are 362 days left for it to become a good year. And I trust that it will. As we continue in our worship this morning, let's talk to God together. Dear Heavenly Father, good morning. We thank you for the privilege we have to gather together in your house. It's cold outside, but it's warm here. And what a wonderful metaphor that is for what we find in your presence, the warmth of fellowship and communion with you. And as we worship you this morning, may each one of us have our hearts touched by your Spirit's presence, and may we be a blessing to you as we worship you through song and prayer and the study of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you have a New Year's Eve tradition? Maybe. Maybe you go to bed at 7 o'clock and sleep through the fireworks. Maybe you stay up till midnight and watch the ball drop in Times Square. Maybe you don't even realize it's New Year's Eve and just carry on with life as normal. Maybe you have a New Year's Eve tradition and maybe you don't. I have a good friend whose New Year's Eve tradition is to watch the film The Sound of Music. And maybe you know some of those songs from The Sound of Music. I can hear them in my head, but as you know, I will not sing for you except in a congregational setting. But one of the songs is, well, the title of the sermon, A Very Good Place to Start. Start at the very beginning, a very good place to start, and maybe you can hear that in your mind as well. And it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? That if we're going to start, we should start at the beginning. If you purchase a piece of flat pack furniture, which whoever designed flat pack furniture, it was a diabolical move. But maybe you've purchased flat pack furniture before, and usually they come with a set of instructions. Sometimes the set of instructions is in something resembling English, and you try to go through and you follow those directions. And it makes a lot of sense to start with step one, doesn't it? And then go on to step two, and then step three, and to follow the sequence that is in the directions. And if you don't start at step one and you get yourself into a little bit of a fix, it makes sense to go back to the very beginning, to look at how things should have started, and then to take it step by step from the beginning. It applies as well to our spiritual journey. Oftentimes, we find ourselves a little off track in our relationship with Christ as we're seeking to follow him. And it can be very beneficial to go back to the beginning. To go back to the beginning of our walk with Christ, our personal walk with him, to go back to the beginning of our testimony, to remember how Christ has blessed and led in the past. It's good to go back to the beginning. You know, at times I have visited with couples who were experiencing some relational turmoil. And I've often encouraged them to think back in their minds to when they actually liked each other, when they were happy together, to think back to what was it that drew them together to begin with. Going back to the beginning can be a powerful and beneficial experience and exercise to undertake. And today, of course, it being just the third day of a new year, we're going to go back to the beginning, not just the beginning of our experience as individual Christians, and not back to the 1860s when this congregation was started, but back even farther, back into the distant past, the very beginning of this world. Allie read for us John chapter 1, which highlights, John chapter 1, the first five verses, that highlights that in the beginning was the Word. And John makes it clear a little bit later in chapter 1 that the Word is none other than Jesus Christ. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Jesus, the Creator, in fact, that's what John says, everything was made by him. John chapter 1 has language that directs us back to the very beginning of, well, of time, the very beginning of this earth, the beginning of Scripture in Genesis chapter 1. Let's turn there together, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. It's the beginning of the account of God creating this world. And there are lessons for us in the account of creation that can give us hope and comfort and a sense of certainty as we embark in a new year. It may be that there is some level of uncertainty in our lives. It could be that there are challenges that are confronting us that we're unsure how to relate to. There may be turmoil or crisis that we're encountering, and it can shake us and make us feel uncertain and unsteady. We may look back at the past year and see all of the mistakes and failures and wonder if we're equipped to take on another year. But if we go back to the beginning, we're reminded that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Back before there was any life here on this earth, there was God. And it's reassuring and comforting to know that God predates us all. In fact, the Bible says he had no beginning and he'll have no end. He is a consistent God, the God who, as Scripture says, is the same yesterday, today, and really, he's the same forever. In the beginning, God. If we go back, not to the beginning of our problems, not to the beginning of our heartache, not to the beginning of our turmoil or crisis or pain or suffering, if we go back to the very beginning, there's nothing, there's no one but God. And that's a great place to start. To go back before the trouble, to go back before the turmoil, and to remember that God always is. In the beginning, God. And God created the heavens and the earth. And if he is able to speak light into existence, if he's able to speak and plants are flourishing on the earth, if he's able to speak and fish fill the sea and birds the air, if he's able to speak and animals populate the earth, if he's able to form with his hands a human life and breathe life into that body, if God is able to do all of that, then he's also someone who's able to draw close to us and care for us in our needs. In the beginning, God. Before the trouble, before the turmoil, before the problems, God was there. And he's the one who fashioned this earth. He created life. And he's the one who created you. And so God cares about what's happening in your life. He cares about what's happening in my life. And we're powerfully reminded of that because we get thousands of years into the story of the Bible, 4,000 years plus into the story of the Bible, and we find God not just having created this earth, but coming to redeem this earth, coming to redeem us. John chapter 3 says, "For God so loved the world," and you know this verse, don't you? Let's say it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible continues and says that Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but he came to save us, to redeem us, to rescue us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Gospel of John announces to us that 4,000 plus years after the creation of this planet, of life on this planet, that God shows up again. Of course, we know he'd been showing up time and time and time again. He'd never abandoned us, even though Isaiah notes that our sins separate us from God. He was always seeking to be close to us, to reveal his love to us. As he said in the book of Exodus, he told Moses to Exodus 25, verse 8, "Build me a tabernacle so that I can dwell among them." God has always wanted to be with us. And the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He created everything. And then verse 12, "He came flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came to redeem us. So we go back to the beginning. Back to the beginning before all of our trouble and of turmoil and the crisis and the pain and the suffering that is part of living in a sin-sick world, and we find God. We find God who created life. He, as the Genesis account reveals to us, he made everything perfect here on this planet. Nothing was amiss. Nothing was wrong. As the Epistle of James reminds us, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything good in your life and mine is a gift from God. And he created this planet to be a place filled with good gifts. But because our human father and mother rejected God's instruction, chose to try to do things their way, sin came into this earth. And with it, all of the suffering and the turmoil and the trouble and the pain that we experience in our lives today. But God didn't give up on us. We go back to the beginning. He made us and reminded that he's always cared for us. And so Jesus came. Jesus came. The creator of the world came and became one of us, born as a baby. It's remarkable, the Christmas story, that God didn't simply show up as a king, as a sovereign. He showed up as a helpless baby. How long has it been since you've held a almost newborn child in your arms? About 5 months ago, yes, your grandson, holding your grandson in your arms, an exciting opera. I remember the first time that I held one of Linda and my children in our arms. Gavin was born, and the first time holding him shortly after he was born, just a remarkable experience, a life-transforming experience. And then when Emily was born, having the same privilege of holding her. How helpless is a newborn child? Completely and entirely dependent on his or her mother and father to provide everything that that child needs. And that's how God chose to show up and communicate his love to us as a helpless child, a helpless baby. It says something about the depths of his love and care for us. We go back to the beginning before all the trouble and all the trials and all the turmoil, and God made this world perfect. And then sin entered this world. And so we have another beginning. We have a beginning of redemption for this planet, and it's in the birth of Jesus. And the life that he lived and the love that he shared and the teachings that he bequeathed to us, his sons and daughters. In fact, that's what the Gospel of John tells us. The Gospel of John tells us that we have the privilege of becoming members of the family of God. We have the privilege of becoming his sons, his daughters. We have the privilege of belonging to him. And of course, that privilege, that opportunity, that experience comes to us when we choose to receive him. It's there in John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so Jesus came and gave us the privilege, the opportunity. Really, he reminded us through his life that we belong to God, that our beginning was crafted by the Creator, that he has a plan for your life and for mine. And we can become his son, his daughter. We can belong to him. He gave us the right, the privilege to be his child. You know, it feels good to belong, doesn't it? It feels good to belong. There are times in our lives when we don't feel like we belong. There are times when we feel out of place, as if we're just, well, it can happen when you're new somewhere. Have you ever experienced that? You go to a new school, maybe as a kid, and you walk into the classroom, first day of school, you don't know anybody, and you feel like you don't belong. I had that experience a number of times going to a school for the first time. I remember when I was in college, and I would go to the cafeteria for lunch, and I would go through line, and I'd get my food, and I would go into the dining hall. And I would stand there and gaze out at all the people there and not a single person there who I knew. And so you go trudging through the hall and you feel like, of course it's not, but you feel like everyone's looking at you saying, he doesn't have a friend. And you end up all the way at the other end, not having found anyone to sit with, and so sit down all by yourself. Maybe you never were like that. I'm a little bit of an introvert. And so that's what I oftentimes did. You just kind of feel a little bit out of place, as if you don't belong. But you do belong. I belong. We belong to Jesus. And he has a place for us. He has a place for us here in life. He has a plan for your life. He has a dream for your life. He's charted out a course for your life. And as you are trusting in him, he will put you where you belong. By God's grace, that's here in this church family. You have a place. You belong. And ultimately, he says in John chapter 14 that he's preparing a place where you belong in heaven. And you belong there. Whatever your sins are in the past, you belong. Whatever your failings, you belong. You may feel as if no one would want you. If someone really knew you, they would turn away in disgust. God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows every thought. He knows every feeling. There's nothing in your life that has escaped his attention. And despite knowing and seeing everything about who you are and what you've thought and what you've done and how you've felt, he says, you belong. You belong in my Father's house. And I've made a place for you. I've made a place for you, and you belong. We can get so wrapped up in our life experiences, in the troubles and the turmoil and the pain and the suffering that we go through. And I don't want to say anything to minimize that. Because whatever suffering you are going through or have gone through in the past is real and significant and painful and life-impacting. I encourage you to go back to the beginning. Before all that pain and suffering, and you find a God. You find a God who created you. And a God who loves you. And a God who has a place for you in his house. There are people you know that maybe you would not invite over to your house. Who you're happy maybe to see them somewhere else. There may be people you don't want them to know where you live. And that's okay. There may be situations where that's appropriate. But when you invite someone to come to your house, maybe you invite someone to come live at your house. That really says something, doesn't it? That says something about how much you care for them and how much you regard them. And Jesus is extending to you and me an invitation to come live in his Father's house. So we go back to the beginning. We go back to the beginning before all of our pain and our suffering. We go back to the beginning before sin entered this world, and we find God. We find the gracious and powerful and loving God who made us. No. The one who fills us and our lives with every good and perfect gift. Even in the midst of the pain and suffering of living in a sinful world, the God who showed up to redeem us. The God who longs to give us a new beginning. That's what he says he wants to do. He wants to have us be born again, to have a new start, a new beginning, where the past is washed away and we have a bright and hopeful future. But as human beings, we oftentimes forget the most important things. Maybe you're a husband who never remembers your anniversary. Maybe you're someone who forgets your mother's birthday. Whatever it might be, oftentimes we forget, don't we? We make a commitment and say, yeah, I'll take care of that, and then we don't. We oftentimes forget. And so we go back to the beginning. We actually find a strategy, a gift of remembering that God gave us to help us to keep going back to the beginning and remembering that before all of our troubles and difficulties and challenges, there's God, the powerful God who created this world, the loving God who came to redeem us, the God who has a place where we belong. And you know, of course, what that gift of remembering is. It's in Genesis chapter 2, where the Bible recounts that after spending 6 days of crafting this world, that God then rested on the seventh day. He filled that day with a special blessing. He sanctified it. He made it holy, which simply means he set it aside for a special purpose, a divine purpose, a day that in a very real sense belongs to him, a gift of time. And we find in Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments that God spoke from Mount Sinai and then etched with his own finger into tablets of stone, we find the Sabbath commandment where God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so God said, every week, you need a way to remember to go back to the beginning. To remember to go back to the beginning when there was just God. There was no sin, there was no suffering, there were no problems, there was no turmoil. It was just God. And God made everything perfect. And that's the God who will be in your life and in mine. And that's the God who can redeem and transform and empower and bless you in the midst of the difficulties and troubles and the pain and the suffering and the loss that you're experiencing today. Because he is the God who cares, the God of love. Jesus was confronted in his ministry. Jesus was confronted by religious leaders who had turned the Sabbath from a gift and a blessing into a burden, something people dreaded. And Jesus reminded that the Sabbath was made for mankind. It was a gift of remembering that God had given to the human race. And every week, every Sabbath, as we gather to worship God, we are being reminded of the power of going back to the beginning, to the very start. And we need that reset. We need that reset probably every day, but at least we can get it every week with the Sabbath. An opportunity to be reminded that we have a God at the very beginning who made us. Who filled this planet with every good and perfect gift and works to do the same in your life today. The God who gave us a new beginning through the birth of Christ, an opportunity to be redeemed, to become his sons and daughters. Yes, through adoption, but really through birth. Because when you and I accept Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says we're born again. We are his sons, we are his daughters. And the God who encourages us to look to the future, when we will have another new beginning. Revelation says he's going to recreate this world once the problem of sin is taken care of, and we are going to live and reign with him on this earth for eternity. And that'll be a new beginning. And he reminds us of the certainty and the reality of that future by telling us, as we recounted from John chapter 14, that he has gone to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, a place where we belong. As we stand looking ahead into 2026, let's remember, God has a plan for your life and for mine. And when we forget it, let's go back to the beginning and let's be reminded of how God started this planet, how God gave us a second chance, a new beginning through the life of Jesus, and how God is going to make everything new again one day soon. So you belong. You belong where God has you today, and you belong with Jesus for eternity. And when you forget that, just go back to the beginning. And that's a very good place to start. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being reminded of your love and care for us. We're facing a new year, a year filled with possibilities as well as challenges, a year that may have some disappointments as well as triumphs. Thank you that this is a year that we do not face alone. We stand with you. And so we pray that you would remind us week after week. You would remind us of the God who created us, who redeemed us, who loves us, and has a dream for us, a place where we belong, which ultimately we belong with you for eternity. We thank you for that assurance in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Otsego and Paw Paw Seventh-day Adventist churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Otsego Seventh-day Adventist Church at 218 South Farmer Street in Otsego, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Or you could visit the Paw Paw Seventh-day Adventist Church at 60409 M40 Highway in Paw Paw, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. as well. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.